Matt Gaetz crashed and burned very quickly. But yeah. Now we have...
delighting everyone who knew him.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. Have you gotten your cameo from Matt yet?
I'm not giving that man money.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well-trained, well-equipped, and battle-hardened.
There is not a liberal America and a conservative America. There is the United States of America.
Good night and good luck.
All right, folks, welcome back to the Lincoln Project Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Rick Wilson. I am joined by my good friend today, Molly Jongfast. She's my good friend every day. But welcome to the show, Molly. I wanted to catch up with you a little bit and talk to you about an article you wrote about what you got wrong in 2024. And because we were talking about that a little bit yesterday, and I wanted to expand on that a little bit because it is I really recommend it. We'll put it in the show notes. But talk to me a little bit about what you think, beyond what you got wrong, what did the country get wrong about this election? Where do we need to what do we need to rethink as a country about this election?
Okay, so I want to actually have this conversation. First of all, I continue to be sort of shocked that not more people have written. When I wrote this, I was like, oh, yes, I'm writing this, but a lot of other people will write pieces like this because we all got so much wrong that there'll definitely be a sort of come to Jesus moment here. I continue to be the only person who wrote a piece like this, which makes me wonder, one, should I have not written this piece because there's something wrong with me for doing this? And two, why the fuck is no one else writing stuff like this? Like, obviously, you know, we all thought she was going to win. And then not only did she not win, you know, not only did she not like eke it out like in 2020, but she just fucking lost by more than we thought. And also the polls again and again, I hate polling, but
as do we all.
Right. But it's really worth realizing that, in fact, Trump continued to overperform the polls, right?
So 100%.
Yeah, he got those ones, twos, and threes, those low frequency voters out, just like he did in 2020, just like he did in 2016. And what's, I think, very interesting is in 2024, he used a completely different mechanism.
Yeah.
Right? He didn't use cable news. So it didn't matter, right? All that mattered was just the way he hit these podcasts, the broadcast, the internet, the viral moments of selling shoes and working at McDonald's. And so there's a lot to learn there if you are going to run a nefarious celebrity, which I'm not sure Democrats even have.
Right. Is there even such a thing?
I mean, but it is, but it's worth thinking about. The other thing I think that I think people got wrong, not just me, was I think, and this is a problem that we keep having, I think, that we keep having with Trump and the Democrats keep having, and you and I are going to disagree on this, I'm telling you, but I think I'm right. And nobody is saying this, too, which freaks me out. I think Trump is a creature of his base, completely, you know, you want camps, let's do camps, right. You want mass deportation, we'll do, and then Democrats are like, no, you guys, no, you can't have Medicare for all, no, we're going to do, you know, you guys need to get rid of woke, right? Like, that's the message. All these people in the Democratic base didn't turn out. Young people didn't vote for her, right? Young people. And so now we have Democratic Congress people being like, the problem is woke. I don't think there's a single young voter who gives a fuck about woke.
I think we did underscore the degree to which the economy was driving a lot of people, including young people. And that this idea that the economy was a disaster, that it was, you know, that the world was burning down. I think we under calculated that in a pretty meaningful way. And I think we have ended up now in a situation where, like, I don't even know if like all the woulda, coulda, shouldas, whether it's, should you have been more progressive? Should he have been more out there on Medicare for All or whatever? I mean, everyone's polling, ours included, had a giant miss in it. And it was like everyone's polling told us that abortion was going to be the killer app this year. Because it was blowing the numbers out of blowing the numbers out in every public private survey, everywhere, everything, all the time. And I mean, it's just like, that was, to my mind, a combination of appealing on an axis with women, with, men who give a shit. It should have been, and the things that the states have done with under Republicans have been so punitive in that space. I mean, I still can't understand why that was such a miss.
Okay, so this gets back to another theory I have. And nobody is going to... Here's a theory that will make everyone mad, okay? You ready?
Go.
The original sin is not Harris. It's Biden's first 2 years. All right, you ready? His people decide that he's not a good orator, which we know, and maybe he's a little screwy, which we also perhaps, we don't know how screwy, but a little bit. And he's always been a little screwy. So I'm not saying anything that anyone doesn't already know. And my hottest take is they decide he doesn't need to do media. Fuck it. We're not going to do media. We're not going to do interviews. We're going to be so boring that we don't get any coverage. And thus we can have a clean space to do whatever weird shit we want, which ultimately was a lot of good legislation. But the problem is it doesn't matter. Policy doesn't matter, right? Nobody gives a fuck about policy. What matters is PR. So you're running against someone who has been running for president for a decade, and you're like, look, we have chips in sciences. And because the media was A, mad, and B, just bored by the ad men, and then also they had never invested in any other kind of media, so they didn't have a world where they could, they didn't have communicators, they didn't have, they weren't able to go on a Joe Rogan, right? They just could not get the narrative back, and the chip had sailed. So if there was any world in which you could have won this election, it would have been in 2020. It would have started in 2020.
Right. You would have not done the I'm going to do the mechanical presidenting things. You would have done from the very beginning.
Been working at McDonald's in 2020.
Right. Right. You would have been, losing your mind about every
selling
outrage.
Sneakers and going on podcasts.
Can you imagine Joe Biden selling sneakers?
I mean, I don't think he should sell sneakers, but he should be on Joe Rogan.
Yeah,
every year. Every 6 months. I don't even like Joe Rogan.
Right. I think we are in a different world now. I mean, that whole like it's a podcast presidency. Maybe, but
it's not the podcast. This is like the thing. It's like we need a liberal Joe Rogan. It's the podcast presidency.
No.
It's not. It's very famous influencers. And that can be anywhere.
Like
right?
You.
Like oh yeah, very good. but I mean, Joe Rogan. I was at a dinner talking to someone, and they were saying, "Well, she didn't have time to go down there. It was three weeks left in the campaign."
Oh bullshit! Make it happen, Cap.
Like, 69 million people.
Yeah.
Watched that Joe Rogan interview. 69 million people. It's not podcasts. It's just people, right?
That's
Joe
like the Rogan, fucking Super Bowl, by the way.
It's like the Super Bowl of voters who could have their minds changed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and I look at that. I look at that. And I've been like, did Trump have this? All the bro podcasting stuff, and people have made a lot of conclusions about it. I think it is slightly overpriced, but the fact that he was there in a total vacuum. On it,
right?
In a total vacuum. Like there was nothing. There was no other comparative voice there. There was no other competing voice there. A total vacuum. And I think that's
if you are going to rank the brands, and this is something I think a lot about, and maybe this makes me seem like an idiot, but like I would say, it's the Trump brand, right, is clearly much, much, much stronger than any of us continue to think,
yep.
right? Because he just blew it out of the water this time. And I don't like, I like it just as much as you do. And then the Democratic brand and then the Republican brand. I actually don't think the problem is the Democratic brand. And you can see this because terrible anti-incumbent headwinds and Democrats still manage to keep Senate seats.
Not enough, but yes, I agree.
Right. I mean, the only Senate seat they lost was Casey.
Yep. Yep. And
I mean, they lost other seats, but in the swing states.
And the only competitive seat they lost was Casey. Lost I mean, Casey. we all knew where West Virginia was headed.
Yeah, that was not going to happen. Mm-mm. Yeah.
So
and also Montana, the testers.
Yeah. Well, that was
and also Ohio.
Those were a lot of
Jared
lost
Brown seats.
A lot of lost causes out there.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I actually, that Sherrod Brown was another one that fell apart because, his numbers were really steady and they went in there and they poured it on with that fucking trans ad and he fell apart.
But also you had the MAGA king running in Ohio. So like, for example, there's a special now in Ohio. Mm-hmm. And if Sherrod Brown is smart, he runs for that because no other Democrat has a chance in hell.
Right. He's got to run for it. Right. 100%.
And he could theoretically win because it's not a presidential. It's a special. It's going to be a low turnout election. He has real roots in Ohio. I mean, if it were me, I would absolutely push for that because the other thing is this is not a great map. And by the way, 2026 is also not a great map.
It is not a great map. In fact, North Carolina in 2026 is going to be a very hotly contested.
Tom Tillis
is already, as they say, nervous in the service.
Right. Tom Tillis and also Susan Collins are really the only two pickup opportunities mm-hmm. there. And that still, by the way, doesn't get you to, I think it gets you to 48.
But I think Susan Collins has learned her lesson now, don't you think?
Yeah. And Susan Collins has a lot of rich Bush people.
Oh, she does. She does. And as much as they like to think that it means some hold on the old Republican Party, I have news for them. It don't. So I want to talk to you a little bit about these early appointments and how Matt Gaetz crashed and burned very quickly. But now we have
delighting everyone who knew him.
Oh, indeed. Indeed. Have you gotten your cameo from Matt yet?
I'm not giving that man money.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
It's $525.
I know. It's crazy, right? That's like that's even more expensive than George Santos.
I mean, George Santos is pretty cheap. Yeah.
So I want to talk to you about this. There's a theory of the case out there among some Washington people, and I disagree with this theory of the case. Maybe you agree, maybe you don't. That Trump is naming all these people because he has some secret backroom whamma-jamma strategic goal to put other people in those jobs, but he wants to please the MAGA base first by putting RFK and Tulsi and Hegseth and Gaetz and all the other kooks front and center. I don't think Hegseth is on a great trajectory right now, but I want to get your thoughts on those early big controversial nominations and how much spectacle you think Trump really wants out of the nominating process going into the spring.
So this is a big, this is the $64 billion question of what, there are certainly some nominees that will make it through, right?
Yeah, Rubio's going to be fine.
Really good.
Bondi most likely will go through.
Bondi, right. Even though she's clearly, you know, she's completely got money from Trump. And
oh, she's
corrupt.
I can tell you, corrupt as the day is long.
But so the question is now sort of where are we? Look, if you were to say if they were appointments that keep you up at night, it would be Hegseth, it would be Tulsi, RFK Jr. But I'm going to introduce a theory here that actually the scariest Trump pick is someone who is returning to an office he was once in before.
Tell me. Seb Gorka, the Dragon of Budapest.
Dragon of Budapest, whatever. I mean, we're all going to die, but I'm not going to, that, whatever. No, is Russ Vaught.
Russ Vaught, yep. Yep, yep. You know, somebody was saying to me yesterday, like, oh, you know, these guys are just chaos monkeys and Vivek and Elon. The problem is Vivek and Elon and Russ Vaught are going to form this like iron triangle. And I think, you know, they're going to be able to, he's going to say, I want to get rid of this or that woke program. And it would ordinarily sort of like stew out there, but Elon will go and make it into the giant like scandal of the moment. And he'll use Twitter to amplify it, you know, beyond all words and reason.
Right. I mean, I would say this. The plan, the Project 2025 plan, which Trump disavowed because it was polling so poorly, but now is clearly.
But surprisingly, it was always the plan.
Is pretty. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in that book.
Oh yeah,
and it's everything from like banning pornography to using the Comstock Act to ban the mailing of the abortion pill.
Yep.
To, I mean, it's just it's a plethora of bad policy. But the idea that you could cut the federal budget by just not giving them the money. We haven't seen that play out. Now, clearly, this is the play here. And I'll be curious to see sort of, I mean, the only thing that makes me feel a little better, and I want to emphasize the word a little, is that Trump really cares about the public markets. He really cares about the stock market.
He does.
So if this freaks out the stock market, which eventually it could, if it keeps going for long enough, there is a way in which that maybe stops Trump from doing it. But I can see there's definitely going to be some real fuckery around the federal budget in ways. I mean,
absolutely.
Do we try to default on the debt? I mean, we stop paying Medicare? I mean, you know,
there is going to be, I think, first off, you know, Mike Johnson is a very, 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 very narrow majority.
Right.
So less narrow.
Then the 119th, 219th Congress will have less than the 218th. Republicans will have less.
Making him even more vulnerable to the chaos monkeys who want to burn everything down.
Yes.
And so the Marjorie Taylor Greens, who has, as you pointed out, is the liaison to the Doge operation.
Right.
You know, you've got, I think there's going to be a really interesting and probably a lot of chicken being played with the budget and with spending. And they're going to try to, in early 25, knock out as many, Trumpian PR style wins as they can get.
Right.
I mean, but I want to go back and ask, like, Russ Vaught coming in, you know, OMB chair, he's going to get in. He's not going to be, from what I can see, he doesn't have any like obvious dead girls in the trunk of his car, sort of things.
I love that. That's where your head goes. That's obviously where your head should go to. Continue. Yes.
Look, I'm not saying Russ Vaught is a serial killer. I'm just saying.
All right. Keep going.
What could go wrong? How much do you think Trump has already like gotten a message from the Senate that there's a certain level they're not going to go to?
No.
Because of Gates?
I mean, no, I think that, I mean, the reporting I read on Gates was that the NBC reported that they had maybe 20 to 30 senators who felt uncomfortable voting for Gates.
Right. Right.
Okay. That's a lot of senators.
That's a lot of senators,
right? 20 to 30. I mean, sure, I think he can't do everything he wants. I still think that in my mind, not letting RFK in there should be job one.
Huge. Could not agree more.
And also, I have to tell you, I don't think Trump. And again, I'm not in his head. I am not speaking from any inside information here. But if from history, I bet you Trump doesn't really care about RFK Jr. getting that appointment.
You know, I think you're probably right. There's a certain degree to which he'll say it. I put him up for it. Didn't happen. Okay, right. Moving on.
Right. I mean, because he helped Trump get reelected.
He sure did.
And it was useful for Trump, but I'm just not convinced that RFK Jr. is the hill he wants to die on.
I'm not sure that Trump has any... look, he has no loyalty to anyone. We know that. That's a right. historically established fact.
But Hegseth, there are people where he is more loyal than others. And I'm not sure.
Do you think Hegseth is at that level with him?
I don't know. But I know that RFK is not.
Correct. Yes, I agree with that assessment that RFK doesn't have the same juice that Hegseth does in terms of
not on Fox News.
Of being a face that he sees on Fox News every day.
Right.
And that has always been something that is mystifyingly powerful in Trump's world.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. He has pulled a lot of people out of the Fox News bubble.
Yeah.
A lot of people from that universe. Is this just a pure comfort factor or and wanting people who are quote good on TV? I had heard another theory this morning from somebody and I had not thought about it. I want to get your take on it. Somebody said he's kind of fucking with Rupert too.
Why?
How? Like taking away Rupert's stars from the network. I'm like, well, that would be Sean at this point or Laura or whatever, the Frau. But it just struck me as a kind of interesting observation that like Trump has some like conception in his head that he's forming his own communications apparatus with what he thinks of as proven Fox stars.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know. I think like that what I'll be interested with Rupert is whether Rupert will be able to, like, there are going to be a lot of attacks, legal attacks on the free press from
sure.
this admin.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be very curious to see if Rupert will stand right. Rupert, like, he doesn't like this idea of attacks on the free press, right?
Or right.
if he relates to it and tries to stop it, or if he just is like, these guys will never come after me because the leopards will never eat my face. So I'll be very curious to see how that plays, because you know the same things that can be used against the liberal media can be used against the conservative media.
Yeah, but I think they kind of believe that they'll never be on the I think there's a belief, and I'm seeing this quite a lot actually by a lot of conservatives right now, that this is the final victory that they've you know that this was their MAGA moment and it'll never turn back from here. And the Democrats are, you know, never going to win again. They're helpless, they're hapless, all those things. And I mean, I look back at, you know, you had three Republican administrations in a row, Reagan, Bush 41. Then you had Bill Clinton twice in a row. And he came out of nowhere, came out of nowhere, Arkansas. And I'm just curious, you know, as we start to look forward into 26 and we start to look forward in the future, the Republicans have admittedly one big advantage. They have an enormous farm team right now that are all about to start, or disadvantage, excuse me. They have an enormous farm team. They're all about to start fighting over the Trump legacy.
Right. Yeah.
Where do you see the Democrats right now in terms of the early going and like leaders who are going to emerge as a counterweight to Trump in the next couple of years?
Okay. So here's what I think. Mm-hmm. I think that there are a lot of good people. We don't know how it's going to work with the primary. We really need a once in a lifetime politician to win back the narrative. I don't know who that is right now. And I don't think any of us do. I think they're going to have to just come through the gates and blow us all away. Mm-hmm. I do think that this is going to be that there. I think there Democrats have done this before, and I think there's a place for it. And I think And I think that there is a candidate like that, but is, you know, there is like a deep Democratic bench, right? A lot of good governors, a lot of good senators, a lot of smart people. But with this and the next 4 years are going to present a lot of opportunities for standing up for our norms and institutions.
The guardrails.
The guardrails.
They're going to be so, those guardrails are going to be so worked over.
As we are recording this, Jack Smith is withdrawing his case against Trump.
Well, I was watching that too. And, you know, this idea that I think one thing that Democrats can dismiss now in the future is that that Trump or his successors are going to be vulnerable to legal challenges of any kind as long as the Supreme Court is what it is today. I mean,
it is very, that whole fucking, you know, I don't know. I can't think to myself that that holding Trump accountable is the cause for this.
It's not.
Because I would think that the law is the law is the law and it should be the law for everyone. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I mean, I think the delay is probably how we got here, you know, and the gentility with which this case was brought.
Right. We wouldn't want Merrick Garland to feel like he was rushing or anything.
Yeah.
But okay. I just think there's a I think we will look back on the failure modes of the last 4 years of this administration. And I look and I still think Joe Biden did a lot of important and meaningful and courageous things, especially as, I mean, we've just erased that he had to unfuck the COVID situation. We've just erased that. We just like have global amnesia about it.
Very good legislation, very bad communication.
Right.
But unfortunately, the year is 2024 and nobody gives a fuck about legislation.
Nope.
Even though this legislation kept us from all sorts of nightmare scenarios.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that the delay, though, I think Merrick Garland's absolutely unforgivable delay in the classified docs case, in the January 6th case, in all of it. It's so profoundly, he gave Trump an open field to run in, and the idea of, oh, well, we can't do this because he'll raise money off of it. Okay, fuck you, you know.
But it's also, Merrick Garland was the wrong person for the job, right?
100%.
Like, yeah, he was the wrong person for the job in the Supreme Court. He was the wrong person for the job, as you know,
like, as AG. Go make the guy the dean of a Big Ten law school somewhere. But but please, no more trying to protect democracy with Mr. Milquetoast.
It's him. It's James Comey.
Sure.
It's, you know,
your boyfriend, your favorite,
it's your pal Merrick Garland. Yeah. It's I'm sorry. It's Mueller, Bob Mueller. You know, it's men who would have been fine in 1984, but are completely over their heads in 2024.
It really is like a very strange and different world now. And Molly, I am grateful to you, my friend, as always, for your clear-eyed view of things. And folks, the article that Molly has in Vanity Fair called "What I Got Wrong in 2024" is really worth a read. It's a good self-examination. I'm actually muddling through my own piece of a similar vein, inspired by you. So, yeah.
Well, at least someone else is writing it.
Yeah, right.
Otherwise, it's just me. Well, literally no one.
I know, like, it's crazy. No one else. What else are you watching out? What else are you watching out there in the next couple of days before the holiday?
I think the big question is, does Hegseth get to January? Mm. Does Tulsi? Does RFK Jr.? RFK Jr. has so many women issues that I think that may come back to be a problem for him. Mm-hmm. Numerous, voluminous relationships with women.
The whole like heroin addict, sex addict, multiple adulterer kind of shenanigans, and frankly, people are now digging up more and more of these video clips of him talking about virus or vaccines. That, you know, there was this moment where they're like, oh, he's not opposed to vaccines, just not mRNA. But it's turned out it turns out he really doesn't believe in any vaccines. And that's a recipe for dead kids. So I think he and Hegseth and Tulsi are gonna be a big fight. I'm not sure Trump has figured out how big a fight it's gonna be for those three in the Senate.
I still am not convinced. I mean, I think Tulsi and RFK Jr. were payback for doing him a favor. Mm-hmm. So I'm just not convinced that those are hills. You know, those two, I think Hegseth is more of a real Trump pick.
Right.
So we'll see. I mean, they're all very problematic. But there are some not so problematic. There's the guy who worked for George Soros because...
Yeah, Steve Bissett. That has caused a lot of hair pulling in MAGA world, I saw today. A lot of upsettedness.
They're almost getting it.
They're almost getting it. All right, my friend. Well, have a great Thanksgiving. Thanks for coming on today. We will talk to you again next time. Hey, folks, as always, Molly was great, and we're so glad that you joined us today on the podcast. Hey, listen, I want to talk to everybody out there in the broad world we call the resistance. I know, to use a Southern phrase that some of you may find offensive, I know everybody's got their dick in the dirt right now. Okay? I get it. But every day that passes should tell you it's time to get off your knees, get back on your feet, and get back in the fight. In the last week, we saw Matt Gaetz, a beloved figure in the MAGA movement, a beloved Fox News star, not on the network properly, but on it like 10 times a week, a guy whose impeccable Trump loyalty and MAGA credentials were so perfect that people said, oh, Trump will fight for this guy to the very end. And he didn't. Matt did not jump. He was pushed. I have heard this now from two separate sources in that world, where Trump realized bridge too far. And folks, I want to go back on this. I've said this before. The Arnold Schwarzenegger movie Predator has a key line in it from the 1980s. Some of you are too young for that. Go watch it. They're fighting this invisible monster. They can't seem to get an angle on how to take it out. And finally, they manage to hurt it. And they see its blood on the ground. They're like, if it bleeds, we can kill it. Guys, Trump has made a lot of bad appointments. We're going to have months now ahead of us, not where Trump gets to unabashedly start to lay down his plans for the future. We're going to have months now of chaos because Tulsi and RFK and Pete Hegseth and all these other lunatics, we're going to be fighting them every step of the way. Now, would we have preferred to win this election? Yeah, no shit. We didn't. We did what we could. We tried to cauterize the wound. We tried to do what we could to help. But at the end of the day, the damage was too much from too many other outside things. The disinformation ecosystem is one of my biggest targets going forward. Who's in it? Where's the money coming from? What's happening with it? How are they lying to the American people? That's a big vertical for me. For the Lincoln Project, we're going to fight these nominees every step of the way. These fucking people are poison. Okay. They are bad for this country in every way. There are a few that are going to go through and it's going to be hard to fight them. We understand that. But about two thirds of them are people who you would not want to put in charge of running an all night 7-Eleven in the middle of a cornfield somewhere. These are not competent, capable people. The Surgeon General has a degree from a diploma mill in the Caribbean. What? I mean, RFK, pure poison. Tulsi Gabbard, Russian stooge. Pete Hegseth, lightweight. Those are just the three that are going to be the most painful for him. But we're going to have to fight these folks every step of the way. There are some Republicans in the Senate who have shown a itty bitty tiny little shred of backbone. And Trump will probably try to punish them now. But we're going to have to keep that cadence up. We have to keep it loud. You have to keep this in the faces of the American people. You have to start asking your friends and family after the holiday, let the holiday happen. Is it what they voted for? Tariffs? Really? Capitulation across Europe? Really? Is that what you voted for? All those things? You didn't vote for that, did you? And when you look at these people, they understand what they've put up for these nominees. They're low quality. They're crazy. Their main skill is kissing Trump's ass or other body parts. And they're not going to have an easy ride. We should make that ride as hard as we can. Why? Not just to spite Trump, not just because they're bad people who will do bad things, but because it's important that we go into 2025 with the weakest version of Donald Trump's White House and administration we can. I am not one of those people who says, oh, I wish the president well. I don't wish him well. I wish him abject failure. I want Donald Trump to fail. I want his plans and policies to run into a brick wall of opposition at every moment. Once again, we were on the losing side of an election, but we are on the right side of history. The opposition to Donald Trump's policies and the things he wants to do to this country, the division and the pain he wants to cause this country, deserves opposition at all times. The fight ahead isn't about just whether he won or lost the election. He won it. Now, he won it by a lot smaller margin than you thought in the beginning, and he won it by a smaller electoral margin than people thought as well. So look, he's president. He's not God. And Americans fight against people who want to harm this country over and over again. We're still in this fight. We hope you will be too. Thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
And good luck.